Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live out here at Jack Daniel's Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Day two of the NHL draft in Smashville. And joining us now to break it all down is Hal Gill. Skillsy, always appreciate chatting with you.
Oh, we got to
update the mic. I don't believe that Hal's mic is on.
Hal,
we figured you wouldn't say anything worth listening to anyway, so just go ahead and cut you off.
Unmute.
I hope that's okay.
Oh, wait, Derek, be careful what you hit.
That's okay.
Be careful what you hit.
I got it.
You got it?
Whichever one is not muted.
No, nope. Wrong one. Don't turn yourself off, D-Mace.
Talk now.
You got me now?
Yeah. D-Mace became a producer overnight.
I am now a producer.
D-Mace, producer extraordinaire. Well, Hal, happy to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me on. You say it's day two, and I say this is about day seven.
Wait, it takes a toll on the body.
It's been a haul. I haven't spent this much time on Broadway in my whole life. Come on.
Really?
It's been awesome. What a spectacle here to have the awards and the draft and just awesome.
Well, we're glad that you live to tell the tale of Tootsies today.
Let's not say I'm living. I got a day or two to get through this.
Still alive, but barely breathing.
Yeah,
well, we've heard a bunch of reports of what the Predators tried to do last night. Pierre LeBrun, Elliot Friedman, Frank Saravalli, all reporting that the Predators were very adamant about calling up for maybe the fourth or fifth overall pick. Frank Saravalli last night reported that Askarov was part of that deal. Why do you think it didn't go through? Were the Preds looking at a guy that eventually got drafted in the top three? Was the offer not sweet enough? Didn't have a dance partner?
I think all those conversations go back and forth, and mm-hmm. eventually, you know, what was it? Willie, what do you say? It's an uncomfortable offer that
he
Barry
said,
Trotz was.
Yeah,
he
Pierre
made
LeBrun.
An uncomfortable offer, right? And that's what it takes, right?
And he defined that as what you think is actually over-giving to where – Barry Trotz himself saying, "Whoa, but did I offer too much here?" But it didn't. It obviously didn't go through. He said the center ice position, especially with the first four players, I thought the value was there, and the offers fill the holes that they were looking for as well. Meaning, presumably, the Sharks and the Canadiens picks 4 and 5.
Yeah, and so I look at that, and it brings me back to a conversation I had with Bill Guerin. You know, he just took the GM job and. I said, what's it like? And he goes,
Bill Guerin, for those who don't know, GM of Minnesota Wild.
Wild, longtime NHLer, but he had those moments where you have to pull the trigger. You have to make that uncomfortable move, something that pushes you, and you have to believe in what you're doing. Don't forget, as with all the experience that Barry Trotz has, this is his first time as a GM going through this. So for him to say that it was an uncomfortable offer, I think – he probably wanted to make that move to get up to get a better player to get Carlson and to get those picks, but I think in the end of the day, I think he's probably going, okay,
maybe I should have done that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot, right? And then that's the game all these GMs are playing.
And I do wonder if David Poile was sitting there going, Barry, you sure you want to go this far?
He's
you
sitting know? Over there like,
hey, you just got here. Oh.
Pump the brakes, man.
So where did the Preds go from here? Clearly there was a player in mind, whether it was Leo Carlson or whoever it was in the top five that the Predators were looking at and saying, that is our guy. That is our center of the future. Didn't get him. So how do you find that center of the future? And I'm sure that we would all be making a whole lot more money if we knew the answer to that question.
You know what? There's so many options that the Preds have. They have so much cap space. They have free agency coming up. I'm so excited to see what they do and how patient they're going to be with this. It's not a rebuild because this is going to go boom. This is going to turn around quick. Is it going to be next year? Are they going to make a splash in free agency? Are they going to trade some picks that they – I mean, you had 13 picks here, and you just bounce them around and try to get the best players you can. This is a youth movement that is going to happen quick. These young players come around quicker. It's not like the old days where you have to wait for a guy to get 30 years old before they're established. These kids are getting established at 24, 25. Mm-hmm. And so these kids aren't too far away.
Now, what do you think are the first two picks that they had in the first round?
From what I saw, and you know what, I took a break from the radio, went up into the Preds booth up top. And all the coaches up there looking around and going, oh, I like that guy. And they knew a lot about these guys. They've been talking about it. It's not just throwing darts at the board.
Did they have? Did you get free food up there?
I did.
That's why you went up there. Jeez, I didn't get anything to eat during our thing last night.
That's a Willie's fault,
didn't
right there.
Bring any food back to us.
Yeah. No, it's hard to find food around here.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, it being up there, they were really excited about these guys, and so that made me feel a lot better about it.
Well, let's talk about the first guy in particular, because Matthew Wood went 15th. There were a lot of mock drafts that had him going 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere in there. David Poile and Barry Trotz both said they had him up in that range, so they were very, very excited when he was sitting there at 15, and he was a pretty easy pick for them. A big, strong guy, 6'4". We discussed this a lot last night on our coverage, but Hal, I think a lot of people would be interested. You played the college hockey in that Hockey East. He played at UConn. He was a lot younger than a lot of guys he was playing against and still was a point-per-game guy. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's a challenge. As a big guy, you're still trying to grow into your body, right? And he's doing that at a young age. That's a good sign.
Turned 18 in early February.
Yeah, and so to go and already played a year against the college game has big boys. Some of those guys are fifth-year guys that are 25 years old. And so you're playing against men. And for him to succeed at that level, it's not easy. And it's a quick, fast game. It's a lot faster than the NHL in some aspects, a little more hectic. And so you have to respond. And for a big guy to be able to do that, it's impressive. But he did that in the BCJ. He was playing before out in British Columbia. And he was a young 16-year-old playing against 19, 20-year-olds. And he was doing the same thing at that level. So now it's just the next progression. What's the next jump? And how soon can that be?
Derek, I turned 19 my freshman year in February. Mm-hmm.
What my I was first 19 year. My freshman year.
Is that when you were bullying Shaq?
I was
that's the story we will
I
tell.
I was admiring Shaq's work from the bench, my vantage point. I was the same year as Shaq. So I was on the court a few times with him, but I...
He could sense your fury from the bench. Yeah. Oh, he no, felt it, yeah. Oh, he
no
felt
question.
It.
We did beat him twice, by the way. Uh-huh. We beat him twice. But... he was turning 18, so he was a young freshman. That is interesting to me because a lot of times, I don't know, you guys see this too, people kind of either they reclassify, that's the term, while they're in high school, so they're a little older when they get to college. He's the opposite of that.
Yeah, you see that, especially for me, being up in Massachusetts, everyone went a year earlier than to school, like down here.
Yeah.
And you can see the difference. Players are more developed and, when you get that extra year, it means a lot. And so for him to be a younger guy, especially a bigger guy, I think the upside is a lot bigger.
Now, looking at the first question is, do you think these guys, how long do you believe it will take these guys to be able to contribute to this roster? And then more specifically, Tanner, who is an undersized defenseman, 5'11", but he has tremendous skill.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think
he took the Pekka Rinne route. Uh-huh. Pekka was announcing him, and he was like,
"Yeah."
He paused for a second. Molendijk. Molendijk.
He and Carey Price
both.
Yeah,
they both had a little
not
trouble.
A great day for goaltenders.
Well, no, listen. I was up in watching that from up
getting
the top,
food.
And all the coaches, all the Preds staff go. They go, did Pecks do that on purpose? To make Carey Price feel better?
Pecks is a nice enough guy.
Pecka, the empath.
Everyone in that room turn around and goes, he's the guy that would do that.
He is the guy that would do that.
That's what a Pekka Rinne thing to do.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Yeah, so I think he did it on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Molendijk,
sure.
what do you think of him? Defenseman.
Well, and going back to development, usually it takes a lot longer for defensemen to get in the game. As a center or a winger, you make a mistake, you get someone to back you up. As a defenseman, you make a mistake, and we're in trouble.
Breakaway.
Help me out, Juice. But I think you have to wait to see how these guys, into your question, how long is it going to take? Mm-hmm. Everyone has got their own thing. You know, it's the popcorn thing. You know, the kernels in the bag, some pop early, some never pop. And so you're trying to find that sweet spot, that perfect player. And what David Poile has always been is patient with defensemen. Let Roman Josi go play in Milwaukee. You know, he's not going to rush him into the game. So as a defenseman, I think you need to take a little time to get some confidence. And Nashville is a great place to do that because there really isn't that much pressure. You go to Montreal and Toronto, you know, they want to see it. They want to see that kid out there. But I think as a defenseman, I think they can be patient with him.
And I know that from the Preds fans' perspective, center is the sexy position. Yeah. It's finding that Connor McDavid in Nashville. But being realistic about the prospect core of this team, I mean, Roman Josi isn't a spring chicken. Ryan McDonagh isn't a spring chicken. Just from your perspective, like the defenseman in this prospect core and how important it is to build up that core.
Well, that's the hard part is for Barry Trotz and Brunette coming in. Bruno's got to get these guys to buy into, you know, okay, we don't have all these guys right now. They're coming. Be patient. Tell Roman Josi, hey, just it's going to take a year or two to get these guys in. The center position is just it's so hard to get that number one guy and to have him for a long time. So
wasn't that hard for Chicago?
Yeah, that turned around pretty quick.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me add, we haven't asked or gotten your thoughts on Ryan Johansson. So Ryan Johansson moves on to Colorado. Very, very interesting to see what they get out of him at this stage of his career. And they're making a $4 million per year gamble as opposed to having $8 million invested in your cap.
Isn't that funny how things change?
It's a different perspective,
if you
right?
Say,
yeah.
Do you like Ryan Johansson? Yeah, oh, yeah. Great player.
Yeah. $8 million?
Ooh. No,
it changes very quickly.
$4
million? $4 million, yes.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Yeah.
I like him.
So that is the attitude that the Avalanche have for sure. But what does it do for Parson and Glass, Novak, knowing that the pathway is clear now?
Yeah, there's some happy kids when they saw that trade. They, you know, everyone loves Joey. You hate to see him go, but that's an opportunity that you're getting. You know, hey, I can go out there. And it was such a young, you know, you got Cody Glass and Novak and Parson. And they're just a small sample size. So how much do you believe in them? Do you want someone else to help them? Or can you, you know, each one offers something different, right? And so, you know, it's so hard to say this is our guy unless you go out and get the big one. You know, you get the Bedards and you get these guys that you can build a team around.
Last one for you, Hal. There's a lot of changes in this organization. It feels like we're on the cusp of the Nashville Predators 2.0, 3.0, yeah, whatever you want to call it. If you had to summarize what this team is going to look like, kind of the vibe around the team going into this season, how would you do it?
I think the vibe that I get is, hey, we're young and we're exciting. Barry Trotz wants the Predators' way. He developed that, and he was a huge part of what we know as the Preds' way, the gold standard, all that. Those buzzwords are great, but it's not that anymore. I think they're looking for excitement. I think they're looking for that speed, the energy. Talking to Bruno, I love the way he said, I don't want to defend. I want to re-attack. And that's a different mentality. They're not going to lock it up and try to play defensive. They want to play a high-speed tempo game, make teams uncomfortable in a different way than they used to. So I'm excited to see what they bring, because with all that youth and that excitement, now you have to see, can these guys continue it? You know, it was fun at the end of the year. Last year was fun. I loved watching those guys play. Can they continue that and have that brand but be better at it? That's
Hal Gill, our very own Broadway warrior.
Yes.
Good luck out there.
I think
tonight
he wants to hear.
Hey, Hal,
do you want to heckle Elliot Friedman when he comes on?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
I think this would. Hal, Elliot really admires.
That's a great
Hal
idea.
And Hal,
you kick me out whenever you want.
I think Willie is still mad at you that he didn't get anything. He's mad.
We were in the
beer,
trenches.
Food,
we were in the trenches.
Nice
we were grinding away. He leaves.
He's rubbing it in even more.
I had a little foot massage table there. It was nice. Sorry you missed it, buddy.
We're sitting there going, and they picked again. Pick number 21. Is this guy? Hal's up there having a great time. And then he comes, rolls back in when the Predators pick. We got nothing.
Hey, you got to get all angles out there, Willie. I'm covering all bases.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.